This is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And this is our second episode of our podcast.
Essentially.
Hopefully.
We've recorded others.
Yeah, let's just not talk about
that. They're locked in a vault.
Yes. Sealed away for decades to come. They'll be treasured by future generations.
Oh, beautiful. Aww. So we have a new intro.
Yeah.
That's a lot of words to say that.
Yeah.
It's Sacramento's own Captain Nines and the Knickerbocker Trio.
Right.
And my husband and I met at a Captain Nine show.
That is right. I had not heard this story before. I hadn't heard the details, but maybe you can tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Bryce Gonzalez. I just met him. And Bobby strolled on up and said, "Hey, Bryce, who's your friend?" And the rest is history.
Smooth move, Bobby.
Yeah,
<I know>. And this was at Old Ironsides, right?
Yeah.
And it was how long ago?
10 years.
So congratulations on the 10-year anniversary of your first saying hi to each other.
Yeah. And as you know, marriages are rocky at times.
I think Ben Affleck said it best when he said marriage was tough.
Yeah.
Do you remember that at the Oscars?
No, I don't.
He said he won an Oscar for something, I think writing or directing.
For a movie?
Okay. Obviously, if you want to get into talk about what we're going to talk about. But when he was on stage thanking all the people that he was supposed to thank, he thanked his then wife, mm-hmm. Jennifer Gardner, and made a comment about how marriage was hard. And of course, like, the internet then blew up because he actually acknowledged that marriage is hard. And then, of course, like a year later, they split up. Anyway, I mean,
I'm not saying it's that hard, okay, everyone?
Right. This is not a precursor to anything.
No.
But marriage is challenging.
Yeah. And I love it, though, because your fights kind of evolve as you
right?
are married.
Yeah. Yeah. The fights that you have, like the fights that you first have when you're with somebody are kind of almost cute.
Yeah.
Like, because you're kind of figuring each other out.
Yeah.
But when you've been married for a while, I mean, so you and Bobby have been married for five years. And together.
Oh, I guess almost six.
Yeah. And then
six in a month.
Corey and I have been married for, oh my God, it'll be 17 years. And we've been together for almost 19 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got a lot of fighting under our belts.
So Bobby and I got in a fight one time. And I don't remember what the fight was about, but it was one of our bigger ones. And it lasted a while. Because usually I don't like to go to bed mad. So I fix the fights. But this particular fight lasted a little bit longer, and I went grocery shopping, and I got paper towels, and Bobby likes the Selecta-size, but I got regular kind.
Wait, that was your fight?
Well, no, this was post-fight.
Oh,
okay. He was convinced, because of the fight, I was getting my revenge by not...
Oh my God.
Regular paper towels.
Can we talk about the revenge thing for a second?
I'm like, look it. You think that that's what I'm going to do?
Okay. So on that note, years ago, Corey and I got into a fight. I don't remember what it was about. It was two houses ago, meaning not the house we're in now, not the house we were in a year ago, but it was at least 5 years ago. And I don't remember what we got into a fight about. And I think we both went to bed still annoyed and irritated with each other.
That's a nice way to put it.
And the next morning, this was when he was still going into the office more. Now he works a lot from home. But he was rushing around trying to get ready. And he asked me to fix his lunch for him.
Oh, come on.
And you know, when you're not mad at somebody, that's like, okay, let me help you out. When you are mad at somebody...
That's like, do it on your own and think about how much you're going to miss me if I were gone.
Right. Well, okay. So here's the thing. Even angry at him, I'm a team player.
Oh, good.
So I made his lunch. And I think I made him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or a peanut butter sandwich. I don't think he likes jelly. But I used the heel of the bread and then a regular slice.
No.
And as I put the sandwich together, I was like, he's not going to like that.
Oh, Rachel.
And then that afternoon, as we were like finally really making up, he's like, oh man, I knew that I was in for it. He's like, I figured that was your revenge against
me. That is so funny.
I was like, well, maybe a little bit.
Well, speaking of your fights with Corey, Bobby and I have there's a classic Corey and Rachel fight that Bobby and I love. And it starts with, what are you looking at me for? Are you laughing at me?
Why are you looking at me that way?
Yeah. Oh, are you smirking at me?
What's that face you're making?
I'm not smirking. I smiled at you. No, you were smirking.
No, that was a smirk.
And it goes on and on. Finally, it's revealed that there probably was a smirk.
And can I just say,
yes,
like the first maybe... 90 times that you witnessed this fight between Corey and I, because it happens probably on a daily basis.
It was all you.
It was like, oh, Rachel's just overreacting. It's just, oh.
Because Bobby, Corey plays, he's a good actor.
He's really, really good.
Don't be that mad at me. I mean, he did a good job.
He did a really good job. But every time it was like, come on, Rachel, he's not smirking. He's just smiling. And then.
Now I know.
You busted him in a smirk.
I did bust him in a smirk.
But what's funny is no matter how many times I bust him on that smirk, and you honestly, he'll usually cave and be like, yeah, it was a smirk. You know, it just takes forever to get him to admit that. And that's what I'm like, just tell me right up front that that was a smirk and then tell me why you were smirking. Yes. And we can move on.
Problem
but
solved.
The battle is getting him to admit that it was a smirk and say why he was smirking. Oh. And I'm just like, I don't understand.
What is he usually smirking about? Why is he so smirky?
He's just smirky. He's smirky. I don't know. I mean, there's usually it just various reasons, okay. You know.
Well, there's a fight that the four of us, you know, as couples, that we get into. And it's the hungry fight.
The hungry fight, yeah. But like when we're together for a long period of time, mm-hmm. and we go.
Because we've gone to Mexico. We've gone to Hawaii together. Mm-hmm. We've gone lots of places
together. We've gone, like, you know, up to Truckee, I think, and Reading and all that.
And you spent the night once.
Yeah, we've done little getaways and we stay the night and all that kind of things. But yeah, if we go without food, the four of us, it's not pretty.
No, it's actually ugly.
It's pretty ugly. Like we get irritated, we get snappy with each other.
Yes.
It's like the four of us are sort of married to each other.
Yes. Yeah, that fight. The hungry fight is always the worst. And if somebody tells you that you're hungry, they may as well.
Yeah, if you have the audacity to claim that somebody to claim that somebody's feelings aren't valid and that they are instead just hungry, then you are in trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, I remember a night that I think it was a New Year's Eve a couple years ago where just you and Corey came over and the four of us got in a fight that night when we were absolutely wasted.
We were wasted.
Out of our minds.
The next morning, none of us could remember what we fought about.
Yes.
I just still have this vision in my head of like sitting at the bar in your kitchen and the four of us just snipping back and forth at each other.
Everyone was against everyone.
Yeah, nobody was taking sides with anybody.
Usually we have allies.
Right, usually it's like two against two, but this was like each person was an island.
Yes.
Of anger and booze.
Speaking of an island of anger and booze, so Donald Trump.
Right. Island.
Was it the town hall or what interview was it with Anderson Cooper?
I think it was the town hall, GOP town hall. Yeah.
And Anderson Cooper brought up the whole Ted Cruz wife fight.
The wife fight.
Donald Trump said, he started it.
Yeah, he basically said Ted Cruz started it.
Yes.
And
Anderson Cooper said, actually, it was with all due respect, that's the argument of a 5-year-old.
Yeah, which, thank you.
Yes.
Slow hand clap.
Yes.
Brilliant.
He started it.
And then, I didn't actually see this, but I read the transcript of it, and Donald Trump still was trying to, no, he started it. No, I'm not acting like a kid, but he started it. And it was like, he wasn't even like registering what the meaning of what Anderson Cooper was saying. And
you know what he needs maybe is a timeout.
He needs a huge timeout.
Maybe that
he needs some privileges taken away.
Yes.
And he needs a timeout. And maybe he needs a snack. Maybe he's just hangry.
And a nap. Yeah. I think I figured it out.
All right.
We're good.
Hey America, we've got this solved. Yes, don't
Rachel
worry.
Paloma
about
on the case.
It.
Yeah. And then the other thing about Trump today was you explain this because I was a bad American. I just read headlines on this one.
That's okay. Sometimes I do that. I like to just read the headlines. Today Donald Trump was being interviewed by, what's his name? Chris Matthews from MSNBC, I think. And
yes,
he was
Chris
asked
Matthews.
About the, he was asked something on the subject of abortion. And I don't remember the specific question, but his answer was essentially, during this interview, was that women who got abortions should be punished for getting abortions. And
spanking or what?
Right. I know that Chris Matthews pushed him on that question, tried to get him to be more specific. And from what I understand, he tried to kind of dodge being saying anything else about
Trump?
Because when he doesn't really have an answer for something or doesn't know anything about anything, which is a lot of things, he just gets super vague, or he tries to change the subject. It'd be like, if we did a linguistic study on him, it would be really interesting to see how many times he actually said nothing, you know, essentially. But so anyway, he made this comment and everybody just blew up about it. Like the outrage was was on both sides of the political parties. It was both Democratic and Republican. It was pro-life and pro-choice. People were outraged that he would say that he would punish women. And I think about 3 hours later, he apologized and said, no, he meant that abortion providers would be punished because women who get abortions are already victims and, you know, it's hard enough for them. But the thing,
nice try.
First of all, but the thing that really bugged me about this, I mean, because at this point, Donald Trump, I mean, a day does not go by that he outrages me, doesn't outrage me, but it's sort of like you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, this is the latest crappy thing that he's said.
I'm never surprised.
Right. I'm not surprised. But what surprised me was the Republican response to what he said and the pro-life, anti-choice response. You know, they had somebody from a major anti-choice group say, of course we don't punish women who have abortions. They've gone through enough. And I thought, you hypocrite. Everything that you do to try to take away a woman's right to choose is a punishment, whether you're making women go through transvaginal ultrasounds, whether you make them look at the ultrasound of the fetus before you have an abortion, whether you make them go through a waiting period, whether you defund Planned Parenthood, which in a sense shuts down all the available clinics in a state so that women have to drive like 300 miles to get an abortion. You punish them every single day. Mm-hmm. So please don't act like what he's saying is really any different than what you're saying.
I'd like to, I appreciate it that you use anti-choice.
Yeah. And I know that those words depend on where you fall on the spectrum, but I feel pretty strongly about, even though I will occasionally say pro-life, I really believe it's anti-choice.
You're correct.
I agree.
The other political thing, and then we'll stop. But Bernie Sanders challenged Hillary Clinton to a debate, and she said no, and not until he changes his tone.
Okay, so explain this to me. Does she not like the tone during the debates, or did she not like the tone of how he challenged her to the debate?
I think that what's happening is she thinks that he's becoming more aggressive towards her. Uh-huh. And which, you know, maybe as far as this, because this debate or the campaign between them has been kind of like kitten play.
Right.
And so if he ups his ante at all, of course it's going to appear like something's changing. Yeah. But I haven't honestly noticed anything, and I haven't heard him say anything disparaging about her.
He's, you know, and I will say I don't think I've heard him say anything disparaging about her or vice versa. I feel like they've played as nice as you can play in that arena. Mm-hmm. We've had this conversation before. I think we had it on our first podcast. I don't like the finger wagging that he does, but that's my, you know, Paloma just rolled her eyes at me.
I'm sorry.
Okay, eye roll accepted. However,
I wish you could hear eye rolls.
There needs to be like a noise that we do every time one of us rolls our eyes. I don't like that. However, despite my own perception of whether the finger wagging means something or not, I don't think that there's been jabs or... I mean, it's just like when you compare...
He's had every opportunity.
And when you compare it to the GOP debates and town halls, it's just, come on, guys. You know, we have two adults in the room here, and you guys can get behind the podium and do your debate, and Hillary Clinton should rise above that. If she feels like he's not being civilized enough, well, just go out there and whatever. Just don't let that be that's a bad excuse to not debate
actually
somebody.
I kind of think that makes her look weak.
Like, yeah, it's a bad excuse. It's and you know my feelings on Hillary. I love
Hillary. Yeah, I'm not
right. And so to me, it's like it's just as bad as when it's maybe not just as bad, but it's pretty close to when Donald Trump didn't want to.
Yes,
you know, exactly. Do a debate with Megyn Kelly, not Megyn Fox. Like I said before,
we love Megyn Kelly.
Yeah, we do love Megyn Kelly.
Well, it's a kind of a weird love.
Yeah, it's politically kinky, I guess.
Yes,
but it's just as bad as it's like, you know, when Trump bowed out or not bowed out, just basically refused to do that debate because of her. Hillary, don't be that person. Yeah, don't Trump this one.
I know. And actually, the thing is, you know, I am all Bernie Sanders. However, I don't want her to look that bad. I think that.
Right. I think that it's a misstep on her part, too, regardless of whether, you know, you're for her or you're 100% Bernie, whatever.
Yes.
It's like you're just sinking to that stupid GOP level.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Huh. We do have a few things to clear up in the Department of Rumors and Lies.
Yes, yes, from our last episode.
I'm actually notorious in my podcast for giving misinformation or saying the wrong name.
It's your little lady brain.
It's what I do. But apparently I told the story incorrectly about our trip to the nude beach.
Okay, so this is a story from our last podcast.
Bobby cleared it up.
Okay.
What happened is we were walking. Bobby was in front of me. I noticed the dong.
Right.
But Bobby said, hey, let's sit here. I see the dong. And I say, oh, no. Bobby says, what's wrong with this spot? Corey sees the dong. No, let's keep moving. And Bobby and Rachel become upset. What's wrong with this spot?
The spot is perfectly fine.
Then Bobby sees dong. Oh, okay. And Rachel.
Rachel oblivious to everything. You guys, I have really bad eyesight. So in my defense.
It wasn't that small, Rachel.
I just have bad eyesight. And I'm also just kind of clueless sometimes.
Once the dong hit you, then.
It did not physically touch me. It did not literally hit me. Can we just, I don't want to have to clear that up next week.
No. Okay. But
that was actually how it happened. Yes. As opposed to what we made up something.
Yeah. We did the best we could.
Yeah.
But the thing I don't like about the internet is you really can't lie anymore. I know that didn't have anything factual that anyone could look up. I mean, that's our own private story.
Right.
But when I say things that are untrue.
We don't want to have to sleep on that. I know that we put something out there that was incorrect.
Yes.
So I feel better now that we've cleared up the story of the dong.
Yeah. I wonder what we're going to have to clean up this time.
We should take bets. Oh. It'll come to us. One of us will wake up at like 4 a.m.
Oh, no. Like, Bobby's going to tell me I told a story wrong about us meeting.
I'm sure Corey will correct me on the smirk thing.
Well, the smirk is probably really your fault. Maybe you're the good actress.
And what?
And you've convinced me now. Maybe you're that good.
Huh. I think we might have to have a fight about this.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add, Rachel?
I think that's it. I really am happy that we just recorded another episode.
Well, we have to talk about our lady crushes really quick.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We've got Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly. So who we mentioned earlier.
Yes, we love Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
She gives Donald Trump a run for his money. Actually, more than that, I would say.
Megyn Kelly is, although I'm sure that I disagree with her on many a thing.
We do not align with her politically.
We do not align with her politically. I mean, she is a Fox anchor. However, I feel like she's probably the smartest person in that room at Fox. She's tough as nails, and she apparently scares Donald Trump quite a bit.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad for saying this, but I used to think she was a bimbo. I mean...
Well, when you look at the women that... many of the women that Fox hires to be anchors or commentators on its shows, they... when you listen to them talk, and I will say she has said things that I have thought were less than smart, but watching her,
watching her
like in the last year or so, I think my opinion of her has changed. And I think that maybe this is condescending of me to say, but I feel like she's changed. Like, she's not afraid to take people down at this point.
I think
at the risk of alienating people in the Republican Party. Like, she's not afraid to occasionally tell it like it is.
Yes. Well, I agree with you.
Plus, she's just also really pretty.
She is really pretty, I know.
So I think we have to invite her to our clubhouse here.
Okay.
So far we have... It's Megyn Kelly
and Katy Perry.
So they are, if they're listening, and I know they are,
yes,
I mean, obviously, they are invited to come have drinks with us.
Yeah, what are we going to do, though?
They can just drink and give us ideas for things to talk about and maybe tell a story or two.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. They can refill our glasses.
We could try on clothes.
Braid each other's
hair.
Never
mind. You and I are going to be sorely disappointed.
They could play with Rosalie.
There you go.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, sure. They'd be great babysitters.
Yeah, okay. So you guys are, you know, Megyn, Katy, call us.
Yeah. we'll be up. All right. So, well, thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah. Until next time.
Yes.
This is Good Girls Don't. This episode was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
That's us.
It was engineered and edited by Bobby Jordan.
I engineered too.
You did. Child services were provided by Bobby Jordan.
Yes, tonight.
Tonight.
And the lovely.
And then drink services and helpful suggestions were provided by Corey Vick.
The lovely Corey Vick.
The lovely smirk-free Corey Vick.
love that. Thank you.
Thank you. Until next time.